as a family on Christmas Eve, and it's an amazing thing. You think about it, within the next 24 hours, everything will seemingly go back to normal. In the next 24 hours, the wrapping paper, the boxes, the packages will all be discarded, right? The festive foods will all be consumed and eaten. The Christmas carols will stop. If you have any sense of decency, they'll stop. You know, all the decorations will, in all the stores, will, in just 24 hours, we'll walk in, and everything will be as if it's done, as if it's concluded, and we'll roll everything back into storage for a year until next holiday season. And when you think about it, I thank God that the real message of Christmas is not a what, it's a who. I'm really glad that the true message of Christmas is not an activity. It's not the end of the story. It's the beginning of life. The message of Christmas is beautiful, and it's powerful, and it's Noel. It's the story of amazing love. That's what Christmas is. It's this word Noel that means new birth, and it means a new beginning. And we use it synonymous with the word Christmas, but it really means God's new, not just for the whole world, but God's new for you. God's new for my life, and God's new for your life. And in a few moments, we're going to sing one of my favorite Christmas carols of all time. And I think many of us love this Christmas carol, and it's called Silent Night. And I remember singing it as a child, and I remember being in choir. Are there any choir people here? Anybody? Anybody like to sing in a choir? I sang in a choir when I was younger, in first in school, and then, in fact, I actually sang in choirs. I don't even know if my wife knows this about me. Did you know I sang in choirs? And I remember one time I went to this choir competition. This was a random thought coming into my mind right now, where I sang in a choir competition, and we had to sing in Italian, and I could still, and this was probably seventh grade, and I could still sing the song in Italian right now. I won't do it, but I'm just remembering this. But we were in Italy this past year, and I wish I had, it would have been the only Italian I knew. I could have just quoted it in the streets. And you know, I remember just being part of this choir, and we were part of this church choir one time, and they sang Silent Night, and they said at the end, you know, you're going to take your candle, and you're going to go out, and you're going to stand, and you're going to sing. And I remember singing the song, and some of the most powerful words and strange words, because they set up a dichotomy of possibly what you and I experience, but the reality of what God offers is this phrase, all is calm, all is bright. Because maybe you reflect on your life and you look at your 2018, or you just look at the last 24 hours of your own existence, and you think, all is not calm. And I don't know if it could get any darker. You know, the holidays are a season that amplify the predominant emotions of where you're at. And so if you experience loss around the holidays, it's amazing how the holidays amplify that sense of loss. If you feel lonely, it's amazing how the holidays amplify that sense of loneliness. And if you love the holidays, it amplifies that, and the rest of you don't like being around us. Much like your CrossFit friends are your Christmas fan friends. All is calm, all is bright. See, our lives can be marked in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of failings, in the midst of all these questionings and wonderings, in the midst of all that, the adverb that describes your world and my world can be different. Bright. For something to be bright, you have to have a power source. You have to have a power source for something to be bright. You know, in these awesome candles we have on the side, if you're concerned about the curtains catching fire, those are battery-operated candles. And, you know, they will last for a certain amount of time, but at some point, the source of power wanes. and it draws and it dims. And as its power source dims, the light gets dimmer and dimmer. There has to be a source, right? And I remember Heather and I, when we were rookie parents, this is Parents 101. They should teach a class on Christmas. When you buy great gifts, and I remember when our sons, we have four boys, and when they got to the age where we started buying a certain type of gift for them that required a power source, the first Christmas that they would open it, and they opened it, and they're all excited because here's the gift they wanted. It's right in front of them. It has all the capacity and potential and instrumentality to do the very thing they've dreamt of doing. It's why they put it on their Christmas list, and all they want to do is open it and use it and play with it, and they go to turn it on, and it doesn't turn on. And they say, "Dad, it's broken." And I say, "Oh, look, let me see." And then Heather and I would look at each other. "Did you get the batteries?" "I didn't get the batteries. Did you get the batteries?" Rookie mistake, right? That's parent fail. That's just 101. It happens one time, and then the rest of your life, you're just waking up in the middle of the night. "Do we have batteries in the house? We possibly may need batteries sometime soon." Because you need a power source. You need a power source. I wonder what your source is tonight. I wonder what your source is. And Psalm 119, 105 makes a declaration as we celebrate Christmas Eve tonight. In a few moments, we'll sing that song. I wonder, because Psalm 119, verse 105, look, it says, "God, your word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my path." God, it's your word. And I wonder if in your world, or in your mind, or in your thinking, or in your theology, or in whatever shapes, you know, how you come to conclusions and decisions, I wonder what you think it means when we read Psalm 119, a light and a lamp. When it says a light to your path, what do you think of? What do you think of when you hear the word a light to your path? Is it a big light? Is it a little light? Is it a flicker? Is it intermittent? Does it only shine when you feel like you've done everything right, or you've been to church recently, but when you're not doing your best, you feel like that light is probably non-existent? Is its radiance, is the radiance of that light powered by your holiness, or is the radiance of that light powered by God's faithfulness and God's forgiveness? What's the source of this light, and what kind of light is it? Because we so easily scale things. We diminish things. We go, "Okay, that's the light. So great a light. The light of the world. How great a light." But that's probably just for people who did it all right. That's probably just for a different kind of person. We envision the light through our filter of experience rather than the filter of God's promise. So we make things smaller, we make them dimmer, but the message of Jesus is it was never a small thing. It was never a dull thing. It was never a dim thing. The message of Jesus is a big thing, a bright thing. The light and love of God is never a small thing. And I think that's why it's such a wonderful hope that we find tonight, because the radiance of God's light and love in your life is not dependent upon your holiness. But it's on his goodness. It's on the finished work of his faithfulness. And because of that, you can experience and encounter incredible forgiveness. So no matter what life has looked like, the Bible says you can have a clean conscience before God and man because of the life of Jesus. See, Jesus wasn't born in a palace among kings. He wasn't born in a temple among priests. He was born in this manger. He's born in this humble place. In a simple manger, but so great a light. How is it an obscure birth in history path becomes front and center for all conversations and celebrations the world over tonight? How is it possible? Psalm 119. His word's a light and a lamp. So maybe we see a light like a single light, like a flickering flame, dimly revealing. You know, maybe you just imagine back in the day they had their little lanterns with the one flickering flame. And it, can you imagine, if it's not too difficult, Tommy, maybe you could drop all these lights for a minute and just make it dark for me. There you go. And can you imagine, his word is a lamp and a light. And can you imagine navigating in a world in the culture in which Psalm was written without street lamps, without incandescent bulbs or LEDs, and you just have a flickering flame. His word is a lamp and a light. Is it a flickering light? Is it that dim? And maybe today in our modern age, our equivalent would be our cell phone flashlight, right? Don't you use your cell phone flashlight a lot? Many of you I see walking around with your light on all the time in your pocket. Might want to look into that. And you know, even this, as bright as it is, it's maybe enough for one, maybe enough for some situations, but probably not enough for others. Probably not enough for the big decisions. Maybe one or two steps you can bring the lights up. See, Proverbs 4 says, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. It doesn't get dimmer and dimmer. You ever feel like that at the end of the year? Like, whew. It's funny because next week everybody will be like, man, I'm so glad 2018 is almost done. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, oh, man, I needed a... You understand. It's just a calendar. Right? There is something powerful about fresh starts and new beginnings. But it's amazing how you get to the end of the year and you just feel like, oh, I need a new year. I need a fresh start. Why? Because we're not used to this power source that we get brighter and brighter. We get better and better. We go from glory to glory to glory. We're used to it tapping us out and exhausting us. But upon closer examination, the light that we see, when the Bible talks about the coming of the King, Jesus, it's talking about this source of life and joy and peace and hope that's found in God's presence. God shows up in the middle of a manger scene, and angels pronounce it to the shepherds in the field. And the zeal of the shepherds is not enough just to join the chorus and worship, but they say to themselves, let's go. God is here. Let's get where God is at. Let's enjoy his presence, because his presence changes everything. When God draws near, everything changes. That's how light. But Psalm 119 also says, it says his word is a lamp and a light. So what's the word? I mean, obviously, are we talking about the Bible here? Is that what we're talking about, the B-I-B-L-E? Is that the book for you and me? Of course it's talking about the Bible, but it's talking about something even deeper. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And you think, oh, so God had a copy of the Bible. But look at verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. He. Yes. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him. I thought we were talking about the Word. Why did we get a personal pronoun introduced here? In him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. It goes on in verse 14 to talk about how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace, full of truth. Thy Word is a lamp and a light. The Bible? Well, yes, but something bigger, something brighter. Him. He, Jesus. Because of him, we no longer walk in darkness. Because of him, we have an invitation into the light. Because of him, we have a power source that can't be drained. We have access to joy unspeakable. We have access to grace, to forgive, and an ability to long suffer, a strength to endure. We have whatever. That's why the name that God gave Moses, when Moses came and said, "What? Who are you? What God should I call you?" And he said, "You call me I Am, because I'll be whatever you need me to be. I'm the God who fills the gap. I'm the God who raises up when it's low and brings low when there's and makes straight when it's crooked. I'm the God who's whatever you need me to be. I've got an app for that. God is able." In the Christmas story, we've got this mysterious radiant star that appears over Bethlehem, and it brightly shines, and it's a sun, right? That's what a star is. It's just like we have a sun. It's a star. It's just close to us. And here it is, this sun, this star shining over Bethlehem, and a light shines, and it's to announce the king. It's to announce pronouncing that the king has come, but it's a pronouncement of hope of a new life, brighter and brighter. And that calls, when God draws near, it calls for a response. The angels respond in worship. The shepherds respond, and they go. The magi, the wise men respond. The whole world responds tonight. Why? Because what it means is tonight, everybody is invited. For all time. We won't roll that away and store it until next year. Everybody is invited. And everybody can be illuminated. Everybody. That's why Jesus said in John 8, "I'm the light of the world. I am the light. And he who follows me won't walk in darkness." But they won't just have a light. They'll have the light of life. Everything you've been looking for. The reason there's been dark little nooks and crannies and things that you could not get beyond and illuminate yourself. The light of life. See, sin made us strangers. Sin made us orphans. Sin made us detached from our Heavenly Father. But that was before the very first Christmas. And on that Christmas day, God came to rescue us and make a way and become the bridge from heaven to earth, from that place of separation. I love that. I love, we sing, His law is love and His gospel is peace. That's a better law than you've been living under. That's a better light than you've been using to find out what's next for your life, what's next for my relationship, what's next for my world. There's a better light than the light you and I have been using. I love it. And His presence offers hope from loneliness, hope from isolation, hope from helplessness, hope because Jesus is the way home. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in the world that we live in, where status and background and wealth and politics and ideologies become the affinity that we look for to find out our sense of belonging, we look, well, do I belong here? Do I belong there? And we look for these shallow areas of connection to be our sense of belonging. Jesus, in the midst of that world, came with a very simple message, and we've been reading it for a couple weeks here. It's 1 John 3:1 says, see what amazing love the Father has for us. See what amazing love the Father has given us. Because of it, we're called children of God. And I know you probably don't believe it, but that's what we really are. Listen, as you read it, you can just tell he's persuading. He's pulling you into this revelation that it's the amazing love of God that He becomes a father to the fatherless, a father to the wayward daughter. He becomes a home and a family, and that is who our Father is. Jesus broke through every divide. He broke through social divides and gender divides and political divides and intellectual divides and religious divides. Jesus broke through every divide, and of course, He broke through the ultimate divide, the divide between Him and you, sin. Through Jesus, we're able to be reconciled to God. That's an amazing love. I want to read for you Romans 8, and we'll put this up on the big screen for you, because this is an amazing love. And I want to leave this with you tonight as we get ready. We'll sing a song here in a minute. We'll dismiss you. I think we even have snacks at the door as you leave. Everybody like church snacks? They're good snacks. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things, listen to the list of things, peril, sword, distress. Yet in all of those things, you can be more than a conqueror through him who loved you. Because of his love, because of his presence, you can be more. Your source is strong and stable and steady. It isn't being rationed. I grew up in a house where my dad rationed power. I thought we were going to run out of power any second. My stepfather would be like, he'd have the thermostat. I grew up in upstate New York, and it was always cold. Matter of fact, my bedroom window had frost, not on the outside, on the inside. So I remember I'd lay in bed, and the window's right there, and I'd scratch my name into the ice on the inside of my window. And we were always cold in my house. That's why if you come to my house, we're never cold at my house now as an adult. I'm reacting to that dysfunctional. He would never. Dad, can we put it above 68 degrees? No. Are we running out of power? No, but we have to pay for it. I think sometimes we live like that. We live like we think our source is what we're doing right and what we're doing good and what we've done on point and what we did to impress God and what we did to please God. And you think, well, I'm going to have to pay for that. But the message of Christmas is God knew the payment that you and I had to pay. It was too high a price. We'd never live in the warmth and the light of his love. And the only way to find it is that he came and said, I'm going to show up. I'm going to pay the bill. I'm going to absorb the cost. So you can crank that thermostat up. You can live in the warmth of a love of a father who says all those things, even in the midst of distress and peril and sword, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. It goes on, for I'm persuaded that neither death or life, or angels, or principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, anything you've lived through, and anything that you'll yet encounter, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate you, dislodge you, dislocate you, remove you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God showed up. He said, I'll be the source of your love. So I don't know how I'm going to love through this situation. When you're loved by the love of God, you have a love and a capacity to love that you can't conjure on your own. You can't manufacture it. You can't act it out. But that's why the Bible says when he touches your life, it says out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. There's a source out of your innermost being. There's a source that comes out of you when we're no longer fixated on religion, because religion is all about conforming the outside of you. Religion is all about acting out and conforming the outside of you. But a relationship with Jesus is about God touching you in a deep way that all of a sudden it's not you trying to act it out. It's something that's started inside of you that's coming out of you. It's not something that's just being put on you or an obligation that you're carrying the heavy load of. And just as it didn't end with Jesus, it doesn't end here tonight. I want to pray with you very quickly, and then I'll give you a few instructions. But if you don't mind just closing your eyes tonight, because I'm aware that in a room this size, that there's some people in this room who are possibly encountering times of great distress, peril. You might think, wow, it couldn't get much darker than it is in my world right now. I don't know all the details, but I know a God who sees everything, who sees you right where you are and loves you right where you are. And I want to give you an opportunity right now with every eye closed and no moving around. I'm going to count to three. When I hit three, I'm just going to invite you to lift your hand on this beautiful Christmas Eve as we close 2018 down in the next week. Is there any better way to celebrate the Noel, Christmas, the new birth of Jesus, than to accept and receive the payment. You don't have to pay. You don't have to absorb the cost of this. How your life begins to go and the trajectory of how you'll live in 2019 is not based on what you can afford in spiritual terms. It's based on what God has already purchased and supplied for you on the cross. And when I hit the number three, I'm just going to invite you to lift your hand. I'm not going to trick you into standing up or try to get you to come forward, but I like to know who I'm praying with. I'm just going to pray a general prayer over us here in a moment. But I think there's something supernatural that happens when there's an outward response for an inward decision to say, God, I need you in my life. Are you ready? One, don't wait. Today is your day. Two, he loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. Are you ready? One, two, three, hands in the air. Say, yeah, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just wave at me. Say, yeah, include me in that prayer. I'm going to pray it just here in a moment. Thank you. I see. It might be the first time you've prayed this. It might be a recommitment moment because if you were really honest tonight, you'd say, man, I don't know that the presence of God is real in my life. I don't know that his word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I don't know if I deserve that. Can I just tell you? None of us do. None of us deserve it, and none of us could earn it. But we were all gifted it and graced it through the love of God. Thank you for raising your hand. You can put it down. Maybe you didn't feel comfortable raising your hand, but you're going to pray this prayer just the same because you know it's for you. All together, nice and loud. Dear Jesus, I give you my life because you first gave me yours. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. So I surrender all I am, all I've been, all I hope to be. I put it in your hands. Thank you that you're God with me. Not against me. Thank you that you're God for me. Not against me. Thank you that you're a God that loves me. Now say this boldly. I am a Christian. By grace I've been saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate with those who just prayed that prayer? What a great way to celebrate Christmas Eve. It's just beginning with us. Think about it. Jesus, it started with 12 disciples and went to 77 and went to followers and crowds and now to millions of people. It's just starting with you and I, and it continues tonight, and it's our turn to carry the light. So I'm going to invite our hosts right now to come forward. As a matter of fact, why don't you go ahead and rise and stand with me if you don't mind. Rise. That's a very rise. Stand up and sing this well-known Christmas carol. And together as we do, I'm going to invite our hosts, just go ahead, and they're going to light their candle from our Advent candle. And they're going to come through the aisle and then light yours, signifying the amazing love the Father has given us. It's all from one source. It's his love that changes us and commissions us. But then you're going to share that light through your row, not clothing. Carefully share it. And as a symbol that each one of us are carrying the light of God. Each one of us are carrying the love of God. It's gifted to us, but it's to be shared to one another. Amen? Let's go ahead and sing as we go ahead and light our candles.